Hi, I'm Michelle Bangert, Managing Editor of Quality. I'm here with William BJ Hangartner, President of Quality Calibration Service Incorporated. So thank you for being here today.
Absolutely.
Great. So to start, are there any issues with calibration you've heard customers talk more about lately?
Well, you know, there's obviously been the challenges of the pandemic. So that was definitely a challenge about a year ago or better. Since things have opened up a little bit, so to speak, it's getting better for them. But there was many obstacles that they had to overcome as a result of that.
Can you give us an example or what type of thing they were dealing with?
Sure. Well, you know, as the pandemic hit, many customers were forced to hold off on their calibrations, and they implemented the cycle extensions or other venues due to the many challenges that the pandemic created. Manpower reductions were forced into play, company shutdowns, loss of business and revenues, policy changes not allowing outside visitors, you know, on company premises, which drastically affected companies being able to stay on top of the normal calibration protocols.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially if they had a 1 year cycle and then everything shuts down for a long time. So
right, and you know, unfortunately, sometimes one of the, you know, the first areas that gets hit when it comes to furloughs and layoffs and things like that are usually the quality departments due to the fact that they're in indirect labor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And so with calibration in general, were there any trends before that you had noticed or things customers had been more interested in lately?
Well, Yes, definitely. I would say that there's more and more preference from customers, has come into play for on-site calibrations. They prefer not having their gauges leave their facility, you know, for pretty much any amount of time. Companies wanting their selected supplier to provide more complete management to the entire program and trying to take a little bit more of a hands-off approach in some situations as well. It's pretty much become the norm for most or all companies nowadays with today's technology to go with an online gauge management system to be fully incorporated by most companies. For example, our system provides our customers with complete control over their records, including recall management, online certificates, limiting the need for hard copy filing, custom reporting, trend analysis, gauge tracking by use, location application. And these are just some of the capabilities that can be provided while eliminating the need, you know, for duplicate systems or purchasing their own software, which can get very costly, especially considering license updates and or upgrades.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. And why do you think that is, that people want more of the on-site calibration or not having the gauges leave the facility? Is it just because they can't afford to have them out of service or?
Pretty much, yeah. It's, you know, becoming more and more, it depends upon the cycle of the jobs that they're running and what they're running, you know, in a typical CNC machine shop or something like that. More companies with lean manufacturing and things like that are, as I said, sometimes doing shorter run cycles and things like that. So they need to have their gauges available to run those particular jobs.
Mm-hmm. And are there a lot of questions you get about calibration in certain areas or things that manufacturers want to know more about or kind of don't understand with the process?
I mean, like requests and things like that? Or
Yeah.
Sure. And there again, you know, this question kind of ties in with the previous question because most of the things previously mentioned are driven by, a direct result of customer requests. But I would say that more customers are requesting that all gauges get calibrated on site at their facilities, including hard gauging that have tighter tolerances. And the problem is, in order to hold the tighter tolerancing and proper measurement uncertainties and proper environmentally controlled designated rooms are required to produce accurate calibrations, and maintaining specific temperature and humidity parameters are essential factors to maintain those uncertainty budgets. And, you know, that calls out for special equipment, whether it be HVAC equipment, special dedication for them to set aside space within their factory for that. And I guess one of the biggest requests I would say is probably the fact that customers are continuously asking how they can reduce cost in the area of calibration.
And what would you usually tell them about that?
Well, reducing cost? Each situation can be unique. depending upon the, you know, the circumstances and whatnot. But typically we like to take a look at how frequently they're calibrating, for one thing, what they're calibrating. Depends for different types of equipment. You know, they really have to analyze what is important and what parameters need to be met for their specific needs.
Yeah, I've heard considering that calibration cycle, it should be, sometimes it's hard for companies to do, and oftentimes they could extend it, and they, you know, if they don't use something very often, they don't realize it could be a 2 or 3 year cycle instead of 1 year, or, you know, maybe it should be 6 months depending on the factors. So does it seem like there's a lot of confusion about cycle times, or you know, how frequently they should do it, or do most customers kind of know?
Yeah, no, there's quite a bit. I would say definitely there is some confusion related with that. Some are under the, and more so becomes kind of a misconception, I guess, if you will, like you kind of stated, mm-hmm. that they think that the gauges, you know, automatically need to be calibrated at a specific interval. You know, it's got to be 1 year, or it's got to be 6 months, or 2 years, or whatever, you know, they feel that particular cycle needs to be. And they're not taking into consideration outlying factors. Intervals really, truly should be determined based on historical data collected as to the effect on the amount of usage, wear, and how the gauges are actually handled, which affects all that. Mm-hmm. This in turn can reduce unnecessary calibration cost, you know, through over calibrating. And on the other side of the fence, a reduction in potential scrap may be reduced because it may have not been detected because out of tolerance gauges may have been utilized due to incorrectly extended calibration cycles. So there's kind of two sides that they really have to monitor and evaluate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And so I know you've been in the industry a long time. Is there any ways you notice the field has changed since you've gotten started?
Well, I can tell you this, there's a lot more calibration labs out there, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first started and so forth, there wasn't a whole, you know, there was some out there, but not many. But it's become more and more of a trend that more companies have cropped up along the way. But I would say that one of the things that I've seen, I would say that there used to be a lot more internal calibration going on with manufacturing companies. And I would say that the trend has probably been rising towards them outsourcing their calibration, or at least a combination thereof, maybe do partial things and use a supplier outside, simply due to the fact that they evaluate what their core competency is. And when it comes to calibration, it's typically for a manufacturing company, it's not going to be their core competency.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so can you kind of walk us through the process when a customer contacts you about calibration? What questions might you ask, or certain things they should tell you beforehand?
Sure. Typically we'll ask what they're doing now, you know, how they're handling their calibration. Are they doing it internally? Are they outsourcing? Are they doing a combination? Then we'll ask, usually pretty much up front, the easiest way to evaluate is to kind of get a gauge list if they have one, and kind of do an analysis of what they have for equipment and instruments engaging, and kind of take it from there. And as we go through the lists, typically questions will arise due to the simple nature that sometimes the descriptions aren't always very accurate of some of the lists they have. We ask them if they're using their own management software right now, or sometimes they just may use part of their MRP software and incorporate the gauging inventory into that. We ask, you know, do they have a tool crib that they keep the gauging in? Do they have a lab? How are they using? Are they sharing gauges across their departments within the facilities? And, you know, those are probably the major questions that we ask up front. And then we also ask what they envision, what they want. You know, what are they looking to improve upon? And ideally, you know, what do they want to be doing when it comes to calibration, and how much ownership do they want to have and be involved with?
Yeah, that all sounds like good.
At that point, typically, you know, we'll provide them with a quotation as to what it would cost, depending upon how they answer the questions, whether or not, you know, based on the list that they're going to outsource to us, or we're going to be on site. and then we will evaluate. And when it comes to, like I said earlier, the cost reduction side of it, obviously if they have a larger volume and things like that, then we'll analyze for, volume type structured discounts and things like that to try to help, save them some costs and so forth along the way. And our goal is to try to form a long-term partnership and work together to try to make it a win-win for both companies.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty straightforward process. Is there any advice you'd give companies to help kind of improve the process or make things kind of go better than what they might currently be doing?
Yes, typically, one of the major things I would say is hold engaged users more accountable for proper care and handling of the gauges and equipment. If the gauges aren't being taken care of properly, they're being mishandled, they're being mistreated, obviously that's going to create unnecessary cost by quicker wear on the gauges or quicker damage to the gauges and instruments, and where they have to embark upon replacements and things like that. Also educate the users on how to properly use these things, which will help alleviate some of those problems. Another thing that we see a lot is if companies will do a better job of tracking their gauges by location, usage, and movement. We often see companies losing gauges within their own facilities, and some of these manufacturing companies can be quite large and, undergoing different facility upgrades and improvements and relayouts and things like that. And the gauges get moved around and quite frankly, just flat out lost. And that creates a lot of unnecessary costs through waste of time, not being able to locate them and not having them available to run specific jobs when they need to. And unnecessary duplications. Another thing is and I kind of alluded to that when we talked about, what do we do when a customer first approaches us, is to set internal calibration goals that includes, what they want to accomplish internally or externally. They need to identify that, set their goals and objectives and see what's going to be the best route and most efficient route for them.
Makes sense. That's a shame about losing gauges. That seems like an easy thing to eliminate.
It seems odd, but I'll tell you, it's a big problem for especially for some of these larger manufacturing companies.
Yeah.
With several hundred employees and whatnot, and facilities the size of 50,000 square feet or better even at sometimes it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And so kind of looking ahead, are there certain things you see coming down the road now that the pandemic's kind of on the tail end and things are hopefully ramping up?
Well, yeah, I definitely. I mean, as far as activity goes with people with their calibration, it's definitely become more of a focus now that things have lightened up and loosened up with the pandemic situation. And simply put, due to the fact that they kind of had to curtail some of the calibration protocols as a result of that pandemic, it's really kind of opened things up, especially over the last couple months. And people are really getting back on track and almost some situations because they've got audits and coming up and people are allowed back on site for audits and visits and whatnot. And some situations becoming a little bit of a panic that they want, particularly for companies like ourselves to get out there and get on site to calibrate some of the equipment that they weren't able to get done as a result of the pandemic parameters and the CDC parameters.
Mm-hmm. So have things been busier than normal for you right now then?
I would say in the last couple of months, yeah. I mean, yes, to some degree, yes. It's by far 180 degrees from where we were at a year ago at this time. But even when and trying to reflect back even further than that, I would say, simply as a result of that, yes, it probably is more busy now than it was at this time, even a couple of years ago, just simply due to the fact that the calibration cycles for the companies have gotten out of kilter because of the parameters of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And so how did companies do that when they kind of had a shutdown period or slowdown? Did they mostly then just delay the next calibration cycle or kind of?
Some companies handled it differently. Mm-hmm. Lots extended their cycles or just simply put off doing it. And others, we we offer to provide a pickup and delivery for those customers that couldn't have on-site visitors or things like that, or they didn't have the resources available to have anybody, you know, pack gauges up and things like that. So we would go and get gauges, and typically normally would be performed on site and bring them back to our lab and turn them around for them that way.
Mm-hmm. Does your company handle a range of industries, or is there one kind of particular one that you see more of?
No, wide variety. I mean, anything from automotive, aircraft, simple job shop machining type companies, molded rubber, molded plastic companies, medical companies, aerospace, as I had mentioned. A wide variety and vast gamut of different types of manufacturing companies.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. If aerospace was slower, then medical probably filled the gap last year.
So. Right.
That's great. I think those are the main things I want to touch on with you, but is there anything else you want to mention or things you think we should include?
We've pretty much, I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now.
Okay. Well, the article I'm working on, it'll be for our August issue, but we can have the interview here slated to go with that. So I appreciate all your time. Thanks for your help today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.